Hello! You're listening to the Be the Best Nanny Boss Ever podcast with your host, me, Danny Rosenthal. And I am the proud owner of United Nanny Agency and the author of Nanny ABC's The Sitter's Handbook. And this podcast is made for families that don't want to waste time falling backwards into learning the right way to handle situations. And if you're listening to this, that's you. If it's not you, I'm really surprised. But hey, if it's not you, welcome. You're listening to the Be the Best Nanny Boss Ever podcast. And whether you're totally new to hiring nanny, have been a nanny boss for years, or you're just thinking maybe a nanny is right for you and your family, then you're in the right place. From my 17 years in childcare, teaching, and getting families and nannies on the right track, I'm sharing the best advice on how to get the very best out of your nanny today. Because this knowledge is the only way to have a fantastic nanny experience immediately. I mean, you can have the amazing, it can happen, but I'm talking immediately. And don't you deserve that? Like the best today instead of like the best tomorrow? Right? All of this comes firsthand. I've nannied. I've worked with agencies. I've worked with nannies. I created the training used by other agencies, and I did that all before I took the reins and created United Nanny Agency. And I did that because I think the nanny industry can do more to help families get the best care that they're looking for. Yes, an agency will help you find someone, but after that, it's mostly on you to keep a great nanny, be a great boss, be your own human resources, leaving a lot of hard tasks on your plate. But that's why you're here for this. This is the Family and Nanny Agency Approved Podcast, here to give you the best advice on how to find and keep an amazing nanny. And if you're liking what you hear, please give a review because they help us help more families just like yours. And for that, I'm gifting you a free Best Nanny Boss Ever guide. Download at www.unitednanny.org/resources. And you can connect with one of our experts to learn more about United Nanny and if working with us is the right choice for you. But even if not, you go to that website, the unitednanny.org/resources, and you download the Best Nanny Boss Ever guide. And I promise you, I promise you, by page 3, you will be patting yourself on the back. I don't know if I can say I guarantee it, but you should be, and you will be. Either way, this is part 2 of my conversation with Donna Robinson, the traveling nanny. Here's what's up. When the internet came out, she started to realize that there was a market for a temporary nanny to help hop in and help parents during a crisis or while trying to hire a nanny. And turns out she was right, and the traveling nanny was born. But here's what's up. Donna's been in this industry for a long time, and wanting to be a traveling nanny, which is awesome, or not, you're going to learn a whole bunch. And if you're a parent listening to this, you're going to go, oh, wow, there's like a lot to know about this stuff. And like, this is going to make the way that you boss your travel nanny around. That sounds terrible, but it's like the good version of that. It's going to make it awesome. There's going to be a big impact when you follow the things that Donna is saying. And so when this conversation is over, I'm going to read Donna's 5 key points that she wants you to remember. I did them in the last episode, but that was like a week ago, maybe. Maybe you're listening to these like directly. If you listen to them back to back, you probably don't need to listen to it again, except for like I'll probably deliver it differently, you know, like other versions of how I talk. Anyways, sorry all about that. To my conversation with Donna Robinson, the traveling nanny.
You hit the nail on the head, and the same thing what I said about email. You're communicating ahead of time. You're not waiting for the situation to happen. You aren't out all those things beforehand. When I'm emailing, you know, we talk about that. What's your style when I'm there with the kids? I mean, one, and also I didn't even touch on the another type of travel in today's society that wasn't there, say, 4 years ago, is traveling with parents who work remotely. Because now, especially during COVID, I worked with families who just couldn't take being in the house all the time. They both worked at home. And so they traveled. They would go to the Caribbean. They would go different places. But while they're there, they are working remotely. So, and one situation, we had a lot of family members in this house. And she's telling me, and I think she could feel my what? And through the email, I'm sure she felt it. And she said, look, she was great. She says, look, I know that it sounds like a lot more hands, but I know from a child caregiver standpoint, you must be wondering how many personalities are going to be in this room with the kids. She said, but when we're working, it's all your show, and I'll make sure they know. Whether they're grandparents or not, it's your show. And, you know, and then also on vacation, a lot of times parents will tell me about a concern they have about a child. Well, he's a late talker, or, you know, how he interacts or something. And, you know, they worry about their children. Are we doing the right thing? Can you give us any advice? And I remember telling one father at the end, because I thought the boy was just smart as could be. I said, no, he's an observer. He's a child that is observing his environment. He's extremely curious, and he'll get to talking when he wants to. I said, all I can tell you is that don't pass up these moments of childhood worrying about where he's going or what he's going to be, because you're going to miss all these wonderful things when he's just really acting normal for his personality. Don't miss these moments. Put the worry aside. You know, they're only 2.5 or whatever. And I remember that night, and going back to his mom, he said, you know, we shouldn't worry so much. We should just appreciate him exactly where he's at now. We don't want to miss anything. And I'm just smiling because I'm more than happy for anybody to take the credit for that thought. So you do. You communicate. And if you are traveling, you do want to know, like I said before, you got to be prepared at the travel. You got to know where all these play areas and the airports are. You got to know about jet lag. You got to know about your schedule. You know, do they give you enough time to help a child through that, or how you want to alter the sleeping habits and everything else to get to a child? Because they'll recover a lot quicker than we do. And I think you also have to be the type of person, if you're going to be a travel nanny, that copes with jet lag fairly easy. Some people just have a terrible time with jet lag. I don't. You know, I've gone from Texas time, LA time, to Australia time, to back to Hawaii time, back to San Francisco time, back to Maine time. And, you know, I think I kind of have it down. But if it really bothers you, that may not be the career for you, because your parents need you, you know, being able to cope, and how to help their kids cope with that, how to keep them hydrated so they are less inclined to jet lag. You know, there's that knowledge. Once again, if you've traveled, I mean, I know there's the first time for everything. Lord knows there was for me, from the family who took me all around the world. We learn together sometimes. But basically, you should be fearless. Even if you've never traveled to that country, you still got to be fearless. You got to go in. And we were in a Middle East situation one time with the family, and it was, we really were not going to go off that resort. Just for pure safety.
Yeah.
And, you know, but the parents still wanted their vacation. They wanted to get up in the morning. They had their exercise. They had their meditation. They had all this stuff. And, you know, you got two young children. We roamed all over the place, made imaginary games and made imaginary stories and imaginary hideaways. And we had all kinds of things going for us. So, you know, you have to be creative and have that imagination handy at any time. The only thing else I can think, and I'm sure you have experienced this too, is when you get back, or even during the trip. Now, I have Facebook, and sure, I'll post pictures up there wherever I'm at, you know, whatever is kind of cool and things like that. But I don't post pictures of kids. You know, they're not on there with me unless the parents have given explicit even if they've given me permission, I'm probably not going to do it. And, you know, I'll pass old memories up there sometimes because the kid's in college now. You know, it's no big deal. We're talking about a city or something. But people got to be really careful about what they share. Now you can share that cute picture by the pool with the Caribbean Sea at night. I mean, that's all, that is fine. But don't, if it's if you're sharing, it can be about you, but don't share about your families. And I know that it's tempting. I know that nannies, you know, need someone to talk to and maybe share a very stressed trip or what was going on. Maybe it was hard. And I know we're going to share with each other. I have maybe three friends in the industry that I have known for 20 years and I trust explicitly. So when I need to vent, and you do, those who you go to, because it will never go anywhere further than them. When you're in a nanny group with friends, and I've had people, just a social gathering, and them start talking about a hard parent, blah, 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 and maybe give too much information about where they work, so they're kind of easy to figure out, I just cringe. And I just think that parent owns the right to their privacy. They should not, I don't care how, you just can't do it. You can share the event of where you went. That's fine. Because, I mean, even talking to other parents, they want to know where you went. You know, what experience you have and stuff like that. But just don't share anything about your families, unless it's to a friend that you really need to vent. That's why nanny friends are so important. But don't put it up on Facebook. Don't talk to people you don't really know. You know, and it's not bragging to post pictures of where you've been. One nanny said, oh, so-and-so posted a picture up on getting into a private plane. You know, it's kind of bragging. And I'm going, no, it's not. It could be a really cool experience for her. Maybe she never got to do it. It's just a picture of her in the plane. Yeah. I got to go into a plane when we were going from one little island to another, and I got to set up in the pilot seat, get the co-pilot, because that's where we had the seat. And I thought it was really cool to get a picture of me with my earphones on and stuff.
And it also just might be their life. I know a couple of nannies that, you know, they work with families and they travel a lot. And, you know, like, it does seem like a brag at first when they're like, well, we've been on the yacht for 6 weeks now. But it's also like, that's just their life. They've been on the yacht for 6 weeks. Like, that's totally fine. It's like when it, yeah, it's so funny.
Why? And that's maybe in the nanny world. We need to be really supportive in this crazy world. And I never think of it as bragging. When I see them on the yacht for 6 days, I'm thinking, go, girl. You know, how exciting. Wish I was there with you, but I'm glad you are. Why? You should always be happy for anybody you read about that has a terrific experience, because that's their life at this moment. Mm-hmm. And why wouldn't you, as a nanny, you just have to be continuously happy for other people's experiences. But I am very cautious sometimes what I share, because I do hear these grumblings, you know, within our community. And, you know, I've got to keep my Facebook down, as much to the industry as possible. But, I make a joke about myself so it's not look like I'm taking it too seriously. Like you said, how do you brag about yourself? How do you promote yourself? Yeah. Marketing-wise, I think the less said, the better. I think if you've got your website that says all about you, or if you're maybe like right now, I like to have another job until 2023. And I never know in my industry because I'm not marketing right now. I will basically put down experience or put down other things about it. And then we can talk if you want more. But, you know, I don't even always, I do try to put, that nanny of the year thing, because that kind of, only reason I put that up on site sometimes when I'm advertising is simply for the fact it makes them feel like they can trust me.
Yeah.
Because security and safety issues with children right now, it does make people say, well, she has to be trustworthy. But that's the only reason, to tell you the truth. It doesn't do anything else for me, but it does put out there that I'm trustworthy. References, how do you get references in this industry? I don't know who you've worked with, but if you work with really busy parents, especially with as many as I do off and on, and especially newborn care, because I do newborn care and that balances out the travel, because I don't want to work too many weeks a year. And when I'm local, I no longer travel for newborn care. I only do it in Austin. I just think I'm at the time of my life when I want to do something local. But I try to use that as that balance, so, because otherwise you can't really travel, do all that, make enough money to live on for, you know, a whole year. I'm married, so I really, be honest, I don't have to. I work for travel money so we can travel, and I could travel with my grandsons. But if I'm doing newborn care or whatever, these parents are always busy. They're going through, you know, birth and everything. My travel parents are constantly, you know, really type A type of personalities. They're busy, busy. And they would, you always say, you know, they're always thankful at the end. I said, well, just hit me a short reference letter. It's never going to happen. Because they're just so darn busy. They mean to. But their famous words is, you know what, just have them call me. Just have them call me. And they're great at it. They mean it. And when I get a parent to make that, I mean, I have a few old references, but the new ones are all call me. And so I tell my parents, I said, look, here's the people that have worked in this area of your children and blah, blah, blah. They've offered to be a reference. I don't give references unless I think we're really serious and we're going to commit. And this is the last stage, because I'm not going to bother my parents otherwise. And I'll tell them, I said, here's the advantage over a written reference, over a verbal one. And a written one, you know, someone's going to write you something, you know, not going to write anything bad. I mean, that's kind of a given. But it's just the basics, right? Blah, 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 blah. When it's a verbal, I tell my parents, when you check on a verbal reference, they're going to tell you the same thing in a written one, blah, blah, blah. She did this. She's good at this. I said, but what you want to know, am I good for your type of family? Am I going to be compatible to you? So those are the questions you really want to gear in when you do a phone call, real reference. You can Google and make sure that who they say they are, but I'm not going to lie anyway. You don't trust me at that point, well, it's no use. But, you know, I say, ask her, you know, kind of ask the things you really care about, because I'm not around to hear. And, mm-hmm. you know, someone asks you point blank verbally, you're going to be more honest than when you just have to write something out on paper.
Yeah.
So I don't mind when my parents say, just have them call me. They do. They sell me more than I could ever sell myself. But, you know, I say, you know, I compliment my career. The other thing about doing newborn care is, once again, every time you start a career, you look for your niche, right?
Yeah.
So when I started out, temporary nanny was my niche because nobody else was doing it. Gradually, it just temporary went away. It was just purely travel. So that was my niche for a long time because nobody else was doing it. And now there's plenty of people out there. When it just naturally flowed into newborn care, because, and I end up traveling, it was great because I do the newborn, and a lot of times I'll travel later with them when the baby gets ready to travel. But I love newborn care, and, you know, it was always 24-hour jobs in the beginning, and now pretty much it's just night shifts. You know, and I don't have all the fancy certificates a lot of the NCSs have now, so, but what I have is a 20-something years of experience. You know, I do nanny workshops. I still go to conferences. I'm always learning. And I know the best NCSs in the business. So anytime I have a question or something is different than what the book says, you know, if I really have a question, I can go to them. I can get expert advice immediately.
Yeah.
And something I've already tried, but maybe they have something new. But I also found out, where do you find your niche in an industry that's exploding with newborn care? Where do you find your niche if all you want to do is work in your hometown? And for me, and I probably get angry letters over this one, but for me, it's because I ask myself, who do I want to work with? Who have I worked with in my travel that I've known, that I've loved the most? And, you know, my peers obviously make enough to pay me, but I'm also a reasonable travel nanny. But they still make enough money that is, you know, with all the expenses, you know, airplanes and hotels and food, they make enough definitely to pay me. And I still make a living where I'm comfortable. What you charge is based on when you come home, are you happy? Mm-hmm. If you charge enough, you're not going to come home happy. You're going to feel like you were taken advantage of. So you charge what you think is going to make you happy and what's going to make you enjoy the trip. And so when you come home, it's a good feeling all the way around. But none of them are super rich. You know, we're not talking about the Young Millionaires Club or, you know, way up there in salary, because I found out a long time ago, that's probably not where I fit. I like my down-to-earth parents, and most of them making really good money, but they come from good stock and they've worked hard to be where they're at. Same thing with newborn care. A lot of my parents, a lot of times right now, with everything that's happening, they're making a decent salary, but you know, expenses are terrible. And yeah, they have a nice house, they have a nice car. Yes, they want to go on a nice vacation, but they deserve it. I can't hold that against them. Yeah. And so I, you know, my newborn care is based on a rate that gives them super, super quality care, but a rate that they can afford. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, you know, they just don't make enough to go into the high-end rates for most newborn care. They just can't afford it. And people will tell them, well, you can get somebody just starting out, building up their resume, it'll give you a better price. I mean, which is fine, but I really wanted to fill a niche where newborn care parents could hire someone really good who understands parents, who understands breastfeeding, who understands postpartum, someone, because you're really there for that whole family. I don't care if it is a night shift. And I, you know, those are my parents. Those are the ones that, you know, that you really feel like you can reach out and touch. And I still make a decent living. Am I making $500 a day? No. But I'm making enough that when I come home, I'm happy, you know. So in travel or anything else is asking yourself where your niche is. And, you know, if you're single and you have to invest in your health insurance and retirement and all of that, yeah, charge to the hilt because you deserve it. And that's your niche. So you really do have to find, I mean, I'm successful in travel just because I just lucky. I just that thought of the idea before anybody else did. And now there's probably 500 great travel nannies out there. And networking, you know, Nanny Palooza is a great place to network.
Hello, you, yeah. That's yeah, you and me right there.
Yeah, you meet people. And, you know, I meet Jess Sweet out of, you know, New York. You know, we met up because she helped a family here in Austin that I couldn't do. And she's a great travel nanny. And she's got her own little temporary travel agency up in New York. So, Jess, go. The thing is, you know, a lot of times we will give each other jobs because if it's in my area and she thinks I can help them, or it's in my area of expertise, or she can't because she's booked. So networking helps. But networking in this industry is very, very touchy because not everybody can do travel. And when you refer someone, you're kind of putting your reputation out there on the line. Yeah. So when people say, well, could, if you get anything you can't do, let me know. And I'm thinking, I don't know you. You seem really cool. You know, you got your background and everything, but I don't know how you do really with parents. I don't know you. So when we network, we're really careful. You know, we really want to know we can trust that person to take care of the family. Even though I will tell my family sometimes, I said, look, especially when a family said, just find me someone. So I'll advertise a little bit on Facebook and I get four or five, and I'll tell the parent, here are four or five people. I know a little bit about them. I don't know a lot, but it's some names for you.
Yeah.
It's better than care.com if nothing else. And, you know, interview them, find out which one. And I tell them, you know, what to look for and what to look for in compatibility. And I said, you know, interview and see if one of them fits you. May or may not. It's not personal to me. But I'm not referring them. I'm just saying they answered an ad about your qualifications. So we are really careful in that respect.
Donna.
What didn't I cover, Danny?
Only maybe like where you learned all of your dance skills from.
That was easy to answer. You know, I grew up in Kentucky, and my father was a gym dandy, and he always loved to dance. And he was older. He'd go to VA post, and he'd always say, "I only dance with the women that can dance." And I say, "Dad, why? What about the old little widow over there who, you know, is lonely or something? She wants to dance." And he goes, "No, you can't dance good." He said, "I'm not dancing with you." So everybody always said I got my love of music and my love of dancing for him. And I didn't move to Austin for no reason. I moved to Austin when we left Florida. I looked for some place that had, you know, music and diversity, and I kept coming to Austin. So I don't know how you can actually, Danny, I don't know how you can be in the music and sit there and not dance.
I go the other way because I love listening to music. It's very bizarre, I know, but I can't, get to the, I have a block between my ears and my feet. It's weird.
You and my husband would get along so well. Anytime you and your lovely wife are in Austin, we'll take you. You got to come here. We'll show you into the man cave, and you and my husband will just sit there and have listen glory.
That's amazing because Alex would love to dance with you more.
I just know I can't sit still when I hear music.
Well, I thank you for sharing so much about yourself and your experience and all like the little nuances of things that maybe the people just kind of like gloss over or don't think about too much when it comes to just nannying in general. But I mean, your fine-tuned skills of traveling as a nanny and like what that really means, I think is incredible. And I can't thank you enough for sharing that. I think, I mean, just at the beginning when you mentioned that, like, you know, a family even with a nanny might want to have a travel nanny because having a travel nanny is different than a normal nanny. And I'm thinking, like, as a nanny for a family, like, I might want the family to travel with a different nanny when it comes to those things because I might want that time off for myself. Or, like, you know, like, there's just different circumstances for everybody. And I think it is all amazingly valuable. And I, again, I can't thank you enough for sharing so much of the ins and outs of all of this with us.
Well, thank you. It's really hard. You know, I mean, people in the past have said, you know, I've done things like this. I think this is probably the best one I've done, I think, because of the direction you took me in. It's so hard to talk about a field that's so diverse because everybody thinks travel is just one thing, and it's not. You know, it's about with families, with grandparents sometimes, or by yourself. You know, there's a difference there. You're traveling with the family. And it's also what type of vacation. You know, a lot of American families just go to the Caribbean or some beachy place. And that's a fairly easy travel job, except for that you're dumping 20 pounds of sand out of a diaper. You know, and then you have the adventuresome parents who want to go to Europe and want to do two or three cities. So you have to know how to pack and what to bring with you on the plane. I mean, oh my gosh, you're such a hilarious story, but I'll tell you in private about what happens when they lose your luggage. But you have to, once again, be able to go with the flow, think ahead. And but those are different types of travel, you know, packing up, knowing how to pack, unpack. And also advise your parents of, you know, maybe they're not world travelers. This might be their first adventure. So what advice can you get them for doing walking tours and things like that?
When I was working traveling with a family in Europe, the family kept setting me and the kids up. We'd split up, the parents would do one thing, me and the kids would do another thing, and the parents kept setting us up with walking tours, and I had to tell them, like, stop setting us up with walking tours. We're walking forever. This is not conducive to like the children. It's insane. I was like, please stop doing it. I was like, I thank you for it. I totally get what you're doing. I was like, we'll be fine. We don't need a tour guide to help us walk around the neighborhood of the city that we're in.
According to the ages, like if you have older kids, you know, and doing your, I mean, we did walking tours this year in Portugal and Spain with my grandson, but I warned him ahead of time, you know, this is not walking on glaciers. This is not zip lines. Do you want to go to this? Are you old enough now? You're looking for the culture. And they were, we, you know, I was selective, but you got to keep it down to an hour, maybe an hour walking tour, maybe 90 minutes. Because after that, I let them go back to the place. Jim and I wanted to keep learning, but, you know, I wasn't going to make kids do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're limited, you know, not everything's going to be going to Disney World in Paris. But if you got really little kids, none of that's good. You know, I mean, under 10, there's so many fun things to see under 10. That, you know, I think that's the same thing I tell parents. You've got to know, if you're on a family vacation, you got to do kids stuff. You know, take another vacation for you guys. But everything's geared around kids. I've traveled with my grandkids for the last 5 years. We do a grandparent vacation. And, you know, it's about kids. This last time we took a chance and they said they were ready for it. And by George, you know, I trained them good. They did well, but I would never recommend it for most people because I know my kids. But yeah, you got to travel for what makes it fun for kids. That's such a good point.
Yeah. Well, Donna, where can people go and learn more about you?
Okay. Well, I don't know if you can post what I gave you, but I want to be my website, www.thetravelingnanny.com. Everything you want to know and don't want to know about me is on there. If you're in Austin and you're looking for newborn care, I have a separate website because I just thought it was too much information to be on one, and that's www.obabynewborncare.com. When I did that website, all I kept saying was, you know, new parents, oh, baby. And I said, yeah, it's going to be my title, obabynewborncare.com. And then I gave you another one that's for, I guess, more for nannies that they were looking about what does it take. And that's the workshop I did for Sullivan College years and years ago. But I looked at it the other day and I said, you know what? The information about what it takes and what you need to do hasn't changed. So for nannies, that's a good one. But for parents, the other one.
Yeah, this is all great. It's actually amazingly fantastic. I love the picture. You know, oh, baby, it reminds me of the Big Bopper. So maybe you and I are the only ones who will get that. But
Exactly. Thank you so much for listening. That's it. I know it ended weird this time. I guess I didn't do the thanks so much for like I clicked stop, I guess, before I did the goodbye. So sorry about that. But anyways, that's my podcast. That's episode 2 of my conversation with Donna Robinson, the traveling nanny. And you can learn more about her, like she just said seconds ago, at www.thetravelingnanny.com and at www.obabynewborncare.com. That's in the show notes. So, like I said, here's the things that Donna wanted you to know. I'm just going to rattle through it. I'm going to do my best to rattle through it. See, I talk way too much. Anyways, sorry. Okay, here we go. Head in the game, Danny. 1, be honest with yourself. Know your gifts and your limits. Choose your jobs based on these. Parents, think about this too. Know your gifts and your limits. Get the help to fill in those gaps. 2, don't give in to repeating rumors, especially about folks in your industry. If you're tempted to repeat, then at least go to the person and get their side. All right, I said this in episode 1, but I didn't think about this part. There's like a whole story behind this, like for sure. And we need to ask Donna about it, and I will. And if I ever remember, I will add it here. But if not, send me an email, and I'll figure it out, and we'll talk all about it. Okay, 3, in life or a job, don't be afraid of talking it out. If there's a problem, you have to choose between being a problem maker and being a problem solver. And you should choose being a problem solver. Easy. 4, no day in life is promised. Look for the positives, even if you have to dig through a bit of the negative pile that's thrown at us each day. The thrown at us part is totally done. 5, travel. Go out of your comfort zone and get to know people of different cultures and backgrounds. You don't have to climb a mountain, but at least walk unfamiliar streets. Get out there. Get out there, you little scamp. All right. That's episode 2 of the Be the Best Nanny Boss Ever podcast with my guest, Donna Robinson, the traveling nanny. And I will talk to you soon.